Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, deborahcohenmusic.com, and I wanted to talk today about singing. I saw this post that says, "I want to sing like the birds sing, not worrying about who hears or what they think." And I thought, you know, there's probably a lot of people that don't sing because they've been criticized for the way they sound. And I used to be one of those people. But I want to tell you that if you really, really want to sing, you can find your soul voice, not like rhythm and blues kind of soul, but that's cool. But you can find the voice that your soul longs to express. It takes practice and it's a journey. So let's dig in if you have the next 30 minutes to listen more about this story. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, this is Deborah Cohen. I'm so glad you found me online. My music is a variety of genres, starting in the 80s as a new wave singer-songwriter, opening up for Joan Jett in Kenmore Square, Boston. From there, I wandered into different genres, exploring my faith, praise music, interfaith music, and pop, rock, indie music, as well as music for TV, film, and movies. So there's all kinds of things to learn listening to my podcast, A Story and a Song. And I hope that you will enjoy the journey with me and that you will share what you hear. Thank you for listening. And again, this is Deborah Cohen. I am an indie artist and I appreciate you listening. If you're listening on this podcast in Twitch, you'll be able to chat with me live. It's also streaming on YouTube, on my YouTube channel at Jewish Rock Music, but I'm not over there watching the chat. I'm in Twitch. So if you want to post your comments that are related to the topic, and today's topic is about singing. Of course it is. And if you are watching me and can see this video, there's a picture of the Beatles to my right. And I cut my teeth as a musician on this group in the 60s, which was a long time ago. And interestingly enough, I was looking at this AARP article about Ringo Starr. And he is still going strong. The drummer for the Beatles is still out there gigging. And let's see, I'm not going to share an article about him today, but if you can get the December 2023 issue of AARP, it's definitely worth a look. And the title is, Ringo Starr's title is, "I'm 99% Broccoli." The audience now have posters, Peace, Love, Broccoli. Well, that might be interesting to read, don't you think? But I was looking at this, which I never look at this magazine, but I happened to see it, so I think it's fate, and I wanted to show it. Share this article called Hey Jude. And it was really prompted, I was really prompted to share this because my rabbi, one of our rabbis, my rabbi Danny, started singing a random section of Hey Jude at the Bema. Na 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 na. Hey Jude, don't you remember? If you're a baby boomer, I know you do. And I was caught up in Beatlemania when I was a teenager, and I have a great love for their music. So let's talk about Hey Jude and what that has to do with singing today and specifically soul healing. So give a listen if you have someplace to listen without interruption. take notes if you'd like, or just get this magazine, AARP, the December 2023 issue. So here's the story, and it's titled Hey Jude by John Colapinto. In 2007, a young man named Colin Huggins began playing music on the streets of New York using a battered up upright piano he bought on Craigslist. He was a former accompanist for the American Ballet Theater, but playing and singing pop songs outdoors had convinced him of the almost mystical power of music to soothe, delight, and heal his fellow New Yorkers. So I want you to think about that while you're listening and take it beyond New York and think about singing to heal all people in all nations, aka peace. He began to push the piano all over downtown, even managing to get it onto a subway platform at 14th Street. There, in December 2008, he was caught on a blurry cell phone video, later posted to YouTube, playing the Beatles' Hey Jude. In the course of 2 minutes, the potentially dangerous netherworld of the New York City subway, the very definition of his existential alienation, where eye contact is assiduously avoided, was transformed into a place of joy, camaraderie, and connection. At first, four or five college-age kids began to sing along. Take a sad song and make it better. And by the time Huggins hit the crescendo, better, 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 a group of middle-aged businessmen in long black coats on the opposite platform were singing too, with the irresistible coda, na, 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 hey, dude. Oh, everyone on both platforms, male and female, black and white, young and old, was singing, clapping, and smiling at one another. The transformation was miraculous. That video is testament to how melodies and lyrics lurk in our brains, ready to be released at the sound of a few notes, lifting our spirits, connecting us with our fellow human beings, and evoking deeply buried memories as powerful as anything in the human experience. For more than 50 years, the medical specialty known as music therapy has harnessed this extraordinary aspect of music to treat diseases ranging from depression to chronic pain to movement disorders to autism to Alzheimer's disease. But only in recent years has the scientific community begun to penetrate the mystery of how something as ephemeral as an acoustic signal, mere air vibrations, can have such profound effects on damaged bodies and brains. In the process, experts are gaining a deeper understanding of the importance of music in everyone's day-to-day life and its astonishing effects on the healthy, normal brain. That music has been part of human cultures since time immemorial is attested to by early man-made fossils, including various percussion instruments and a 60,000-year-old flute made from the femur of a now-extinct European bear. To say nothing of the original musical instrument, the human voice, whose remarkable music-making properties have given it a central place in virtually all forms of religious worship, from the chants of the shamans in indigenous tribes, to Islam's haunting call to prayer, to the extraordinary overtone singing perfected by the Buddhist monks in Tibet, to the hymns and psalms of Judaism and Christianity. According to historian of religion Karen Armstrong, quote, scripture was usually sung, chanted, or declaimed in a way that separated it from mundane speech, so that words, a product of the brain's left hemisphere, were fused with the more indefinable emotions of the right hemisphere, end quote. So maybe you can start to understand why, if you're going to sing with all of yourself, all of me, that means you have to sing with all yourself, the left brain and the right brain. Recent scientific studies have shown that music's power over us is not purely psychological, but based in immeasurable psychological changes. Changes. Singing along with others to a beloved song such as Hey Jude, Don't Make It Bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Ooh. It causes the brain to secrete the chemical oxytocin, a naturally occurring hormone that creates the warm sensations of bonding, unity, and security that makes us feel all cuddly toward our children and others we love. Infuses us with feelings of spiritual awe and can alleviate chronic pain or the debilitating sensations of anxiety or the isolation of autism. One area of medicine where the power of music has been particularly remarkable is in the treatment of the dementias, including Alzheimer's disease, whose stubborn and terrible symptoms have been resistant to most forms of treatment. And I think that's just phenomenal that singing brings healing individually, because, you know, if you want to sing with love to others, you first have to have love within to give. And if you don't like yourself, or not sure if you do like yourself, then you can do this check in your own mirror. I want you to, this is a test to see if you love yourself. Okay. Look into your mirror. A big, not a compact mirror, a big mirror. Okay. Stand before the mirror and look into your own eyes in the mirror and be still and don't say anything and find love in your eyes, because your eyes, our eyes, are the windows of our soul. And if you can truly feel love in your own eyes, then mission accomplished. There is love, and it comes from God. But if you look in the mirror, in your own eyes, and you start to criticize what you see, which I confess I do, I have to really work at accepting me for who I am. Maybe you're that way too. Then practice looking in the mirror and looking in your own eyes and looking for love in your soul. And when you have that love that comes from prayer, comes from God, comes from healing, then you have love to give to others. And that's when you engage your left and right brain and sing first with yourself without fear, like I showed you at the beginning of this intro, with the bird singing. To sing like a bird requires you to be able to sing without fear of being criticized or being heard by others, and then take it to the next step, singing with a group of people, wherever it may be, on a subway, or it's safe to do it usually in a congregation. People in a healthy congregation are not going to criticize you, even though I've heard many people, I ask them, why don't you sing? I used to, and sometimes still fight with self-consciousness singing. But if you keep singing, I practice singing to God with my guitar, there's an elevation in your song that you feel the self-consciousness fade away, and you become so God-conscious that you're no longer thinking about anybody else except how you feel singing at the highest level of love. And we can all achieve that. And that's why I spend so much time in this podcast teaching it, because it's a remarkable feeling and it doesn't come right away. You may equate it if you don't know what I'm talking about. There have been times when I was in a rock band in the 80s, and it was when everybody was playing and singing together. They call it in the pocket, if you're into the musical terms. And you can feel the vibration of oneness on stage with your band or musicians. And it gives me goosebumps. Didn't happen too often, you know, because there's a lot of ego in rock bands, and some people just want to play their own acts and be louder than everybody else, and they don't care about the singer, and that's a horrible experience. And most of my rock days, that's the way it was. But if you have the opportunity to play with others, and you can hear everybody else and yourself, and that's the way you want to be when you're singing with other people. You want to get to the point where you can sing with all of yourself, express yourself, but also still hear others. That's oneness. That's echad. That is love. That is amazing. And if you're in a band and you can feel that, it just feels, you can feel the oxytocin in your body. It's just so wonderful. So I encourage you to find a safe place to sing with all of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Sing with one another, and then sing for peace among all the world. And I'll close today with a reminder in Judaism that it is the new month of Shavuot coming up Wednesday night and Thursday of this week, the new moon, Rosh Chodesh. And the Rosh Chodesh song is Psalm 104. So I will share my version of Psalm 104 and introduce it by saying, according to Chabad.org, we don't know who first gave the month this special acrostic in Shavuot, but it can stand for the Hebrew expression of Shenishma Besarot Tovot, that we should be blessed to share good tidings. How appropriate in the month of Shavuot that celebrates the blessings of abundance, new life, and the importance of the Torah. Thank you for listening. This is Deborah Cohen at DeborahCohenMusic.com. I hope you will listen to my new music coming out this Friday, January 12th. My new song, Butterfly, will be out. I hope that you will look for it. The butterfly, to me, has very strong spiritual significance that I write about in the lyrics. But if you're not there with that interpretation of butterfly, maybe it could mean in the lyrics, your personified lover. So check it out, Butterfly by Deborah Cohen. And I will close with my song version of Psalm 104 for Rosh Chodesh.
The trees of Adonai Butterflies. I love butterflies. This one is the blue morpho butterfly, which is very rare. Seeing this pretty blue butterfly may mean that you will have a wish granted. I wonder if that is true. Let me ask Deborah.
Butterflies can mean what you believe. Some think that seeing a butterfly means spiritual transformation. I see butterflies fly across my path and they always make me smile. Look at Deborah. She is so excited to tell you about her new band merch, which is available on Amazon.com and Redbubble.com. Just look for her merch and music online and shop Butterflies. And coming soon is Deborah's new song called Butterfly.
What a beautiful butterfly. Thank you, Deborah.